Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
Our next case this morning is Hashish against the Attorney General, number 052266. Mr. Burton.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Justin Burton, and I'm here on behalf of Mr. Abu Hashish in his petition for review of the Board of Immigration Appeals decision. Before us, there are really three questions. Were these offenses crimes involving moral turpitude? If not, or if one was, can we use the petty offense exception to invoke our privilege in seeking cancellation of removal? And the last question is, did the immigration judge use the proper voluntary departure under the subsections of the Immigration Act? The first question is regarding the offenses and whether the crimes involving moral turpitude is a very important one.
Isn't any theft conviction in this circuit pretty much viewed as a crime of involving moral turpitude?
Your Honor, that's what opposing counsel had argued, and that's what one or two of the cases had indicate. But if you look back in the record, in which I had an opportunity to go back to Dashto and Sotarto to realize how they got to that interpretation that every theft offense is a crime involving moral turpitude. And what they end up going back to is a case called Orlando versus Robinson, where it was a larceny offense where somebody had actually broken into a car and stolen a box, and they didn't know the amount or value of what was in that box. It could have been $5 or $500. But what the court did in that case is says there's no unmitigating circumstances revolving the larceny. He just stole the box out of the car. And said it's not like in the case where somebody would steal a loaf of bread to steal their to feed their family. In that scenario, that still is a theft offense. It's a theft offense for the purposes of feeding a family and not to disturb the public norm. They're almost left with no other choice. It's a malum in se offense versus a malum prohibitum offense. And it never really stated that every theft offense is a crime involving moral turpitude. And if we look at other convictions and try to decipher whether those are crimes involving moral turpitude, the Board of Immigration Appeals has found assault is not, DUIs are not, batteries are not, disorderly conducts are not, crimes that are benign. And I wouldn't suggest that theft is necessarily benign. I wouldn't suggest that assault is benign, but it's often used as a catch-all offense and conviction when people plead to these offenses. In this particular case, the 1992 offense was theft of recordable sound, and it's clear that the internet didn't exist at that time, but I think we can imagine a scenario even today where somebody would download music, either knowingly or unknowingly or recklessly, where they would download music and it could be considered a theft offense, in which this court has seen some of those cases come forward, and which is known to the public, where, yes, it's a theft offense, but it's almost commonplace to download this music off the internet.
Because we don't know under the circumstances under which this particular offense was committed, do we?
Unfortunately, the cancellation application was pretermitted before we can start soliciting testimony from the alien. We do know from the rap sheet that it was theft of recordable sound. We don't know in particular circumstances what revolved around the conviction.
1992.
And theft of recordable sound, he could have been a rock concert, and he could have been recording the music at a rock concert. He could have been carrying around a cassette tape with a compilation of other music where he copied another tape, and he was found to have recordable sounds that were copywritten. So, unfortunately, we don't know. We can speculate to it, but the record doesn't indicate what the actual facts were surrounding that offense. And the later conviction, the 2002 conviction, we started getting into some testimony regarding the circumstances surrounding it. We know he owned a retail store. We know that somebody brought merchandise to his retail store and sold it to him, But the immigration judge at that time had cut off the testimony to set it over to determine whether his cancellation application should be pre-terminated.
Do we know what kind of retail store?
My understanding was it was a thrift shop type store where people would come in and sell goods to him and he would resell them to the public. In any event, we must look at to go back to Judge Rovner's question on whether the Seventh Circuit has viewed all crimes that are thefts as crimes involving moral turpitude. We must now look at it under the definition brought down by May, Padilla, and Abdelkader. In those three cases, the Seventh Circuit has realized that the prior definition of depraved, base, and vile is almost an unworkable definition. So they've come up with a new definition where a crime involving moral turpitude is one that is deliberately committed and serious, either in terms of magnitude of the loss that it causes or the indignation it causes in the law-abiding public. It's looking at the offenses we have here, we believe they're mitigating circumstances, which would lend us to believe there are it doesn't cause that indignation to the public. The recordable sound, how much was it value here? We don't know, but we can imagine that it was a misdemeanor offense. It was a misdemeanor theft offense. It didn't rise to that of a felony. And the value of the merchandise was not high enough to at least file complaints or arrest them on grounds of felony theft, but rather this misdemeanor theft conviction. Of course, we have to implore the categorical approach in trying to determine whether such offenses are crimes involving moral turpitude. When we look at what can be involved in theft offenses, in the broad scope of what can be included in this definition under Illinois law of a theft offense, we believe that it's not a crime involving moral turpitude. Neither offense is. However, if one of them could be a crime involving moral turpitude, let's say the latter offense or the first offense, the Immigration Act does provide for a petty offense exception, which would waive a crime involving moral turpitude, which would then provide us with an opportunity or provide Mr. Abu Ashish with the opportunity of seeking cancellation of removal. Cancellation of removal is available for people who have United States citizen relatives who have been in the United States continuously for a period of not less than 10 years and have not committed aggravated felonies. And certainly he has not committed an aggravated felony, and he has at least 5 United States citizen children ranging in the ages of 14 till 6 or 7. In any event, we do believe that it's not a crime. Either one of them are not crimes of moral turpitude. And in that light, we'd like to lean towards our next argument, discussing whether the court invoked the proper subsection for voluntary departure. Opposing counsels argue that this court does not have jurisdiction to determine whether voluntary departure is properly granted or denied. We did not even, or before the Immigration Court or before the Board of Immigration Appeals, we did not even get to the point of being able to seek that voluntary departure. In fact, the wrong subsection was invoked. It would almost be akin to filing for asylum and a court rendering a decision that he's ineligible for withholding of removal and not mentioning the asylum, which this alien was seeking the other voluntary departure. There's pre-hearing voluntary departure, and then there's a conclusion of hearing voluntary departure. One is very different from the other, where you do not have to prove good moral character for the first pre-hearing voluntary departure, and you would have to for the conclusion at the hearing. As the application for cancellation of removal is pre-terminated, there are no applications left before the court, and therefore, in him seeking voluntary departure, it would have been the first voluntary departure, one where he wouldn't have to show good moral character. If there are no other questions, I'd like to reserve for rebuttal.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
We'll hear now from Mr. O'Connor.
May it please the court, I am Blair O'Connor, representing the Attorney General in this matter. Your Honors, the issues in this case center on petitioner's eligibility for relief from removal. The ground of removability, which he was found removable on, is not in dispute. Neither does petitioner dispute that he was twice convicted on separate occasions under Illinois' general theft statute first in 1992 and again in 2002. What he does dispute is whether or not these offenses constituted crimes involving moral turpitude. Because this question goes to his eligibility for relief from removal, and specifically whether or not there is a mandatory ground for precluding his eligibility for relief, he bears the burden of proof. Specifically, he bears the burden of proving by a preponderance of the evidence that he was not convicted of a crime involving moral turpitude, not subject to the petty offense exception. Because this is a burden that he failed to prove both before the immigration court and the board, his application was properly denied, and this petition for review should also be denied.
I want to ask you something. The IJ made a mistake of saying that the second conviction was a felony when it seems to have been a misdemeanor, right?
I can see that, Your Honor. The board did correct that in its decision.
Oh, I'm aware of that. But the brief characterized that as an oversight, but the IJ repeated that error a few times, stating that the certified statement of conviction labeled the second offense a felony, and also finding in Illinois that a second felony, or rather a second theft conviction, is always a felony. How do we address, you know, these factual errors, or do we not address these factual errors?
Well, again, Your Honor, the IJ, we can see he did make a mistake. When they were discussing the offenses on the record, he was looking at the documents, and he noted that the plea was to a misdemeanor. But then when he got to his decision, which is almost a year later, he did err by looking at the statute, noting, oh, well, because he has a prior offense, that was a felony conviction. But our argument is that because in this case the board conducted an independent review of the record and it issued its own decision that nowhere expressly adopted the immigration judge's decision, that this court is reviewing the board's decision and not the immigration judge's, and the board did correctly label the 2002 conviction as a misdemeanor.
Thank you.
Now, petitioner alleges that neither his 1992 nor his 2002 convictions involve moral turpitude. His argument is unsupported by the body of case law that recognizes that crimes of theft, however they may be technically translated into domestic penal provisions, are presumed to involve moral turpitude. Both the petitioner's convictions are for violations of Illinois' general theft statute, which defines theft as knowingly obtaining or exerting unauthorized control over the property of another. It is well established throughout the Circuit Courts of Appeal and in the Board of Immigration of Appeals that theft offenses involve moral turpitude regardless of the sentence imposed or the amount stolen. Accordingly, the Board properly found that both the petitioner's theft convictions involve moral turpitude regardless of the behavior of the underlying conviction. Therefore, this Court need not look beyond the statutory elements of the Illinois statute which petitioner is convicted under, because those elements encompass entirely crimes that do involve moral turpitude. So yes, this record is unclear as to what the underlying facts of these convictions are, but that is not pertinent to this court's resolution of the case, because petitioner does not dispute that he was twice convicted under that Illinois statute, and that Illinois statute encompasses entirely crimes that do involve moral turpitude. Even assuming without conceding that all theft offenses do not involve moral turpitude per se, petitioner has failed to establish that either of his convictions lacked moral turpitude based on the evidence of record. He was put on notice in August of 2002 when the government introduced the FBI rap sheet that the government was moving to pretermit his cancellation application based upon his criminal conduct, which included two theft offenses. In April of 2003, the IJ made very clear, looking at the documents, that he had theft convictions in both 1992 and he had another arrest in 1999, and that both those theft offenses may constitute crimes involving moral turpitude, which would render him statutory ineligible for cancellation of removal. Notwithstanding that he had 8 months from April of 2003 and almost a year from his last theft conviction in December of 2002, at the next hearing in December of 2003, petitioner still failed to offer any evidence that would illuminate what the underlying facts of either of his convictions were. Therefore, because All the immigration judge had to go on was the Illinois statute, which he conceded he was convicted under. He properly looked at that statute and determined that under that statute, theft crimes involved moral turpitude per se, thereby precluding petitioner's eligibility from cancellation of removal. And that decision was properly affirmed by the board in its decision on appeal. With respect to the argument on voluntary departure, again, we would argue that the court obviously lacks jurisdiction under 8 U.S.C. 1229 CF to review denials of requests for voluntary departure. Now, we recognize that under the Real ID Act, under Section 106, that notwithstanding other jurisdictional bars in the Immigration Nationality Act, courts of appeals retain jurisdiction to review questions of law and constitutional challenges. And petitioner does appear to be making a legal challenge in that the immigration judge adjudicated his voluntary departure request under the wrong standard. We, however, the government argues that that argument is without merit. The reason being is that the regulations make clear, very clear, at 8 CFR 1240.26 B1 small I, that in order to be eligible for voluntary departure prior to the completion of removal proceedings, an alien must abandon all other claims of relief and must waive appeal of all issues in his case. Now, in the instant case, Mr. Hashis rigorously pursued his cancellation application until the termination of proceedings. At no point did he withdraw that application. He had to do so in order to get pre-hearing voluntary departure. He failed to do that. Furthermore, he pursued an appeal on the issue of cancellation of removal. And again, in order to be eligible for pre-hearing voluntary departure, he would have to waive all appeals. Therefore, his request for voluntary departure was properly treated as one that occurred at the completion of proceedings. And under those standards, in order to be eligible for voluntary departure, an alien must establish good moral character for 5 years preceding that request. Because petitioner's theft conviction in 2002, again, was a crime involving moral turpitude, he was per se ineligible from establishing good moral character under Section 101F of the Immigration and Nationality Act. And because he was per se ineligible, the petitioner's second legal challenge is that the IJ and the board erred in failing to evaluate and weigh all the equities going into the good moral character determination is also without merit. There was no need to weigh the equities because under the Immigration Nationality Act, he met one of the disqualifying elements of being able to establish good moral character, which is a conviction of a crime involving moral turpitude. Barring the court's questions, the government is ready to conclude. Okay. Therefore, Your Honors, because petitioner conceded that he had two theft convictions under Illinois' general theft statute, and because he failed to prove by a preponderance of the evidence that either of his crimes did not involve moral turpitude, his cancellation application is properly denied, and we request that this court deny his petition for review. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. O'Connor. How much time does Mr. Burton have? He has a minute left.
I urge this court to reconsider their crimes involving moral turpitude definition and theft offenses. Certainly in misdemeanor theft crimes, we believe that it doesn't rise to the high burden that this court has put upon in the definition for crimes involving moral turpitude. The second response I have towards opposing counsel's argument is he indicated that Mr. Abu Hashish had the opportunity to offer testimony into record regarding the two convictions. He doesn't. In a master calendar hearing type setting, there's a number of people, a number of aliens waiting to see the immigration judge. Immigration judges do not permit testimony in master calendar proceedings. There are initial proceedings eventually leading into an individual hearing. Master proceedings are preliminary proceedings where testimony cannot be taken because the judges don't have the time to hear the testimony solicited by counsel. The third is, I think I'm out of time.
Continue your thought.
Thank you, Your Honor. The third would be whether the regulations make clear that voluntary departure must waive appeal. In this case, the incorrect voluntary departure was used, we'd had no choice but to appeal that decision. It's unfair for counsel now to come and say we appealed it, therefore we can't argue it. It doesn't flow properly, the argument. We wouldn't be able to argue this in this venue if we didn't appeal it, and motions to reconsider would probably be inappropriate before the immigration court as well. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Mr. Burton. My thanks to both counsel in the case. The case will be taken under advisement.